hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to the devil, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the realms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God, serve God alone.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This Lenten season, as with all, we use the temptation story to introduce Jesus' journey to the cross. That's part of our Lenten discipline, to take that journey. But however, in the flow of the story of Jesus' life, his ministry, his death and resurrection, this encounter with the tempting spirit is actually an introduction to Jesus' ministry among all the people. That ministry itself has to do with the challenge that the tempter puts before Jesus. Now that challenge here is not to ask Jesus to prove whether he is the Son of God or not. That's a given. The tempting spirit says, if you are the Son of God, and that construction tells us, and we know that you are, the challenge is, what kind of son are you? What kind of son will you be? Who will you follow? Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal to God's will and God's purpose? Or will you follow the advice of an alternate spirit, a different will, one that seems to encourage focus purely upon the self? There are a variety of ways that sometimes we describe what these temptations are about, but two aspects of them seem pretty clear. Jesus, one, is being encouraged to think of himself foremost. It's like the phrase, "It's all about me." That's what the alien spirit wants Jesus to think. Your hunger, your foot that's going to be dashed, your splendor. That kind of thinking is tied into allegiance, loyalty, as the tempter says, worship here, to an alien spirit. Or as we think about it, maybe not so alien as we experience things in our own lives, but something perhaps we do recognize very deeply down in ourselves. Jesus will face this temptation over and over again as he goes through his whole life in ministry. Think of all the times that he is challenged by authorities, by leaders, by those who have wealth and standing. And he's always encouraged to be co-opted. If you kind of come over to our side, all this stuff will be yours. Of course, he's also threatened as well if the co-optation doesn't work. But this temptation is one that follows Jesus all the way. The rulers, the elites, always want him to come to their side to an exclusive kind of ministry. But here, in this cosmic account, Jesus is faithful to God's own purpose, and that's symbolized and announced by his announcement, "Away with you, Satan." And immediately, as soon as that happens, Jesus is thrown into God's true will and true purpose for him, to bring life to the lost, to bring life and inclusion to the excluded, to forgive and welcome, to feed and heal, to preach and teach good news for all people. be the giver of value and life to all whose existence has too often been defined by death in a very real physical way, or by social death of exclusion and demeaning. All this by an alien spirit and by the threat and fear of death. Jesus comes to bring God's love and life to all, especially the lost, or sometimes we say the preferential option for the poor. As Jesus follows the Holy One who sent him, he asks us also to follow him in his ministry. And as you read the Gospel of Matthew, as some of us are in the Tuesday morning Bible study, studying it through, you see that this theme of following, it's in all the Gospels, but particularly in Matthew, it's very important that Jesus is encouraging his disciples and us to follow. Now, it is just this ministry and purpose of life and welcome to all that does, in fact, lead Jesus to the cross. By challenging death at every turn with the free gift of life, Jesus encounters death at every turn. He becomes death for us. We'll be condemned to death. And as we often say in that final death and resurrection, there is this exchange of him taking our death and giving life. We can see that happening throughout his entire ministry. Each encounter that he has with an embrace of welcome and inclusion, he takes on the exclusion and outcast and death of those whom he encounters, and in exchange gives life in the promise of faith and spirit for the sake of all. Now it comes to that little note that I gave before the reading. It's kind of an interesting continuation of the story. At the end of Jesus' life and ministry among the people, there's a clear turn toward Jerusalem and toward the cross, and Jesus starts predicting that this will happen. And that's where Peter comes in with another temptation. Peter encourages Jesus. He just can't bear it. Encourages Jesus once again. Think of yourself. You don't have to go to the cross. We don't want you to. Peter says this when Jesus sees and predicts that his ministry for all will lead to his death. The death of one, as St. Paul says. It's not that Jesus has a death wish. Is seeking death. It's that Jesus simply will not give up bringing life to all people and to the whole world, all the way even to the cross. In this story, it's Peter who does not follow. But St. Paul is right in the lesson that Pastor Roy read. The trespass of one led to the rebuke of all. But brothers and sisters, the point of that lesson is that one person is always us, me. I'll let you decide that passage for yourself, but that's really what it's saying. Although I realize in a lot of cases it's pretty hard for women to see themselves in this male-dominated story, but cosmically understood, we are all that person. But Jesus came to give life and to forgive us when we were unfaithful, when we could only think of ourselves. Faithfulness always means life. Jesus was faithful unto death, and death did not overcome life. He rises. Once more, to offer us life, to offer us forgiveness, and to, in this Lenten time, encourage us to be people of truth and understanding. It seems striking to me that as we begin our Lenten discipline, As we are asked to follow, we kind of are in a context of times when it seems that we are being encouraged to think about ourselves, us first. Are we being encouraged to exclude others from our communities, from our communion? Or we are being challenged to extend the reality of social death by at least considering the diminution of education and health among us. It really does seem like a time where we are being asked to consider what is faithful, who shall we follow, how is it that God in Christ Jesus is calling us to bring life and light to the world. There are a variety of answers, I know, to these questions. What I'm absolutely sure about is that this Lenten season, we are called to wrestle with those questions that are brought before us. In the name of Jesus, amen.